I may be here.
Just maybe me and, I don't know if my wife would even be here. Oh, me. I tell you what. Are you glad you're saved this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Are you glad you're here in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, we could be in the hospital. We could be on a city farm. We could be in jail. We could be in prison. But you know something, I'm just glad that I'm saved by the grace of God. I thank him for his precious blood. I tell you, you know, he has been so good to this old boy. Me and Brother Stamps was talking a little earlier. Me and him, we go back a long ways, don't we, brother? Amen. Go back a long ways. Back when we was growing up. But, you know, now, I'm just an old-fashioned sinner saved by grace going to heaven, going in a new direction. So this morning, I just want you to feel like doing whatever. If you feel like raising your hand, if you feel like saying amen, if you feel like running, if you feel like shouting, pray, you just go on and do what you got to do. But one thing I asked, when you land on your feet, every what you're doing, make sure you walk a straight and narrow way. Don't get up here and shout and do all this stuff on Sunday morning, and then don't go to, and then go out here in the world and don't do it in the world. I tell you what, that's what the problem is with the world that we live in now. We come in to church each and every week, or Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and we'll just get in and thank the Lord and everything for all he's done for us. But yet, you go out here in the world, kind of hard to find a Christian. It's really true. It's hard to find a Christian anymore that we just don't make no difference where they at. Just praise the Lord. I mean, what can they do? I mean, what can Walmart do? I don't think they can do just ask you to leave. And if they ask you to leave, they're going to come to find out that they shouldn't have never done that. Because, see, God's in control. God's in control of them, whether they know it or not. But I come here this morning to worship the Lord, the Spirit, and the truth. And this morning, I really ask for your prayers. I need them each and every day. You know, we're living in a day and time that, and I know y'all have heard it before, we're living in a day and time that it's not going to be long. I believe the generation that I grew up in and the generation I'm in, I have a good chance of seeing the return of the Lord. I tell you, because, I mean, I'm 63 years old, and I'm going back to what some Bible, what Bible says, but hey, we know numbers in the Word of God means a big portion of what God wants us to do. But you know, too, the story of that by Israel become a state. Reclaimed their rights and everything back to Israel there, and back in May the 12th of 1948. Now, May the 12th, 1948. And if we look forward to May the 12th of 2018, that's going to be 70 years. 70 years. He's coming back. He's coming back as a thief in the night. When we least expect him, he's coming. So we all need to be on our toes. We need to be doing something for the Lord. And I had a, I'm just trying to get a little comfortable right now. But no, but I had an individual here other week asked me, says, well, you know, says, I've heard this all my life. The coming of the Lord, he's coming. We're closer than we ever have been. We are. But you know the reason he hasn't come? You know what's holding him back? Us Christians. He's waiting for that one individual to get saved, to complete the bride. And when the bride is completed, he's going to step out on the clouds of glory, and he's going to speak to Gabriel and say, I want you to blow the trumpet. How many have your spiritual hearing aids in this morning? We need to have a spiritual hearing aids. And I believe it. Because you're not going to hear the sound of the trumpet unless you're born again, saved by the grace of God. And hallelujah, one day. Woo-wee. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's turn to the book of Luke this morning, chapter 18. And I know I'm probably not going to say nothing this morning that you haven't already heard and you've thought about and you've even read it yourself and you've heard it preached, but you know, I just like God's word. It's no particular verse in the Bible that I can say that I'll hang my hat on, and that's my verse, because when God called me to preach, he said, now I'm going to give you 66 books. You can pick it up anytime you want to, and you can preach from it. And I remember that. For the first opportunity I ever had to preach was at a preacher's fellowship after I was called to preach in Woomble Bay 3 weeks. Now you talk about intimidation, and that was. Here was preachers there that had been preaching for 30 and 40 years, and they wanted to meet up there. I had no idea what I was going to preach on. I'd studied and everything. But a priest over in James, I believe it was. Just something, 66 books. He give me that going up there. He said, son, you got 66 books, then don't tell me you ain't got nothing to preach. We got 66 books so we can study something. And the Lord will be in it, hallelujah. Because this is his word. And it's not no New International Version. It's a King James Bible. It's the closest thing to the original manuscript for the English speaking people. But even though I preach out of King James, I study it. And I tried my very best to seek the leadership of God. But guess what? When I get home, when I stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, guess what? He's not going to ask for my book. He's going to say, go get my book. I'm going to be judged out of his book. All of us is going to be judged out of his book. So we need to remember that we need to live the Christian life. There's people like here around us each and every day that's dying and going to hell. And we sit back and we don't do nothing. Basically what we're doing, we're laughing in God's face. We don't need to do that. But here in Luke chapter 18, verses 35 down through 43. And I'm going to try my very best to preach a message on the blindness of the people. The blindness of the people. But here in Luke chapter 18, in verse 35, can everybody hear me? All right. Luke chapter 18 and verse 35, and it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitudes pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Let us pray. Our Father, which is in heaven, we thank you for this another opportunity, Father, to stand before men and women, Father. And Father, that I can stand and I can be able to speak thy precious word. Now, Father, you know that I'm just human. But, Father, this morning I'm asking for thy leadership and thy guidance and for that fresh anointing from on high, God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll give me the very words that needs to be said this morning that will bring encouragement to each one of us. Yes, Father, I need encouragement. The people needs encouragement. And Father, most of all, the world. Lord Jesus, the world needs hope. And Father, the world itself needs Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Now, Father, we just want to thank you for what you're going to do. And Lord, help us all that we may turn our spiritual hearing aids on this morning. And Father, that we may hear that small, still voice that speaks to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Now, one thing I'll say. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you, you need to come to the altar. You come to the altar. Whatever it is, you come. You don't have to wait to no invitation time. The altar's always open. Anywhere I teach or preach or anything, I always tell people the altar is always open. But this morning, on the thoughts of the blinded people of today, we see where here there was a beggar sitting outside of the gates here. No doubt he had been coming there for years. I don't know what he had. I don't know if he had a basket, if he had a can. I don't know. But he was out there for a reason and for a reason only. And that was for his family. That was for their benefit, for them to be able to eat and to be able to go out and purchase things that they did not have, that they that it would sustain them until the next day. But he was out there every morning. He was, and this is right here is a faithful statement right here. That I believe that he was there every morning, same time, every day. Whether if people come by him and just spoke to him or dropped something into his basket or whatever. But he was there. And he there, I don't know if he had a time frame to stay there a certain time or whatever, maybe a half a day, or maybe he went there at daybreak that morning and he stayed until that evening. But he was faithful at it. What we need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful in where God wants us to be each and every day in our life, because God has a place for us to be every day. I have a place that I need to be every day. But I need to seek the Lord and allow the Lord to speak to me and allow the Holy Spirit to use me the next day, wherever they want me at, to use me. Not because I may think that I know this or that. No, it's because I want to be used of the Lord. And if it's nothing else but just going and by and saying, hey, or speak to an individual. If that's what he wants me to say, then that's all I need to say. Just speak. Let people know that there are people out here besides their family that they speak to, that a stranger will come up and speak to them and have a smile on their face. And then pray with them. You know, I know the state and the government and everything, and Madeline O'Hara and all of them, they took prayer out of school. I know that. But one thing that they cannot do, they cannot take the prayer out of our life. We have that is sacred, and we need to use it for His honor and His glory. And there are people out here today that's hurting. You know, here 4 or 5 years ago, I had a knee replacement. Man, there for a while, I was in such pain. I really was. And I was thinking about, you know, pain. Oh, me. Oh, me. But you know something? There was somebody out here hurting a whole lot worse than I was. It's always somebody hurting more than we are. This beggar right here, he wasn't hurting to the point that he was complaining. He was just outside of the gate there. And I don't think that he was what you call a beggar, because a whole lot of times when we say a beggar, we say somebody that don't want to work or different things like that. No. But this beggar right here, he was outside of the gate begging. He was crying out. He was crying out for somebody just to speak to him. In verse 36, it said, hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. Anytime Jesus, back in them days, anytime he went out and he went from city to city, town to town, house to house, always it was a multitude, a flock of people following him, just phoning at him, just wanting to just touch him, just want to be right there with him all the time. But this beggar couldn't get to him. Why? Because all the multitude was around him. They weren't worried about the beggar. They were worried about themselves. We don't need to worry about ourselves. I tell people all the time, the day that I got saved was the very first day that I realized it wasn't about me anymore. It wasn't about me. I knew where I was going. I was going to heaven. And I knew how I was going to get there. And I knew how I met the Lord. I didn't know anything about all the different aspects of what was in the Bible. I didn't know anything about the virgin birth on the day that I got saved. I didn't know anything about having a testimony. I didn't know anything about tithing. I didn't know anything about all of the things. But you have to learn and you have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. How do you do that? Stay in His Word. When we get in God's Word, that's when God speaks to our heart. But when we pray and when we seek God, we just want to talk to Him. People come to me all the time, you know, I just wish I could pray. I just wish I could pray. And they say, you know, I just can't pray. I asked them, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. I can take you right to the place that I got saved. I can tell you exactly the message that the preacher preached. I can tell you who the preacher was. I know I'm saved. I don't have no problem with that. But I just can't get to the point that I can pray. Remember one thing, and I'll tell everybody. Remember one thing. Prayer is nothing but talking to God. And I tell them all the time, I say, we've been talking, haven't we? They say, yeah. I say, you know something? That is about prayer. That's all God wants. God just wants to have communication with us. And this beggar right here, he wanted to have some communication with the Lord Jesus. But he couldn't get to him. He couldn't get to him because he didn't know exactly where he was at. But he knew it was a mob there. But what did he do? In verse 37 it says, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passes by. Look at verse 38. This is what he does. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus had heard a little portion of that, but he really didn't. It doesn't say, but I don't think, and I know Jesus, he heard it. I mean, the beggar, he didn't even have to speak it. He knew exactly what was on the beggar's heart. He knew exactly what was on his mind. He knows what's on our heart. He knows what's on our mind this morning. But he just wants us to come to him and place it on him the way he can be able to take care of it. But a whole lot of times when we don't see the problem or the prayer that we have went to God for and prayed for and asked him to help us with it. And the reason, a whole lot of the time that we just seem like that he didn't hear us, it's not that he didn't hear us. We just picked up that burden and took it home with us. Or anyway, we could be at home and praying for it. But then we'd leave the house and we might have to go down to the store and get some gas for the automobile. But before we leave the house, we pick up that burden and take it with us. As long as we pick up the same burden that we went to God with, no, God's not going to answer it. God's not going to take control of the burden. He wants us to leave it to him, because we take up the burden and we take it where we get, we go and everything, but yet we've already prayed. And we say, Lord, here it is. But we don't believe it. What does that indicate? That indicates that, hey, well, yes. Oh, yes. God has my burden. God knows all about my burden. But I got to help him a little bit. God don't need our help. God don't need our help. But a whole lot of times, that's what we're saying to God. God, I can help you. Well, if you could help God with that burden, then we didn't have no business going to God at all for that burden, because we could have took care of the burden ourselves. But we didn't. We want God to take care of it, or do we? But it says in verse 30, in verse 39, and they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more. But he cried so much the more. Is it? He didn't just cry to Jesus with the same enthusiasm that he had the first time he cried out to Jesus. Not the first time he cried out to Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. But now he's crying out the second time. And when he cried out the second time, he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. We have to let him know that we need him. We need him to touch us. We need his mercy on us each and every day. And I thank God for his mercy. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for the cross, because he didn't have to go there. But every time I think of the cross, that I think of myself, that I am the one that put him there. You say, well, how did you put him there? You was born 1950 years later. You're right. But he knew 1950 years ago in time. He knows what's going to happen December of 2014. We have no idea. He does. We have to allow him to work out the things before us. We must allow the Holy Spirit to touch us and to lead us and to guide us and direct our lives. And we need to follow him. Because if we don't follow him, Satan is there. He's just there. The solid trail at the bottom. So when we're walking down the trail, it'll tip over. No way. Then what happens? When you don't follow the Lord, what happens? You get your eyes off of him. You get your eyes off of souls. You get your eyes off of everything else. And when you're focused on something else that you should be focusing on, what happens? You
trip, you fall, whatever, you will be hurt.
Well, it says in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 17 to 18 there, it says, a vision, we must have a vision for not just for our lives, not for just this church, but we must have a vision for the city of Danville, Virginia, for the county of Pennsylvania County. We must have a vision for the state of Virginia. We must have a vision for the world as a whole. If we don't have a vision, we don't have no love. Where there's no vision, the people will perish. How true that is. And you can get up here and you can stand up here and preach and everything. I was at a church one time and a pastor, and I said something. I said, where the people have no vision, you're not doing anything. You don't want to do nothing. Listen, where there is no vision, the people will perish. And I said this in the message. I says, my vision for this church, my vision for this community is for it to be touched by nothing else but the Holy Ghost of God. That people in this community would get saved, would turn their life over to Jesus. And there's so many Christians out here that has just got out of church. They just got out of church. Why did you leave church?
Well, so-and-so hurt my feelings. And I don't want my feelings to get hurt. And they get over it. They need to get over it. What do they think they're doing to God? They don't think it hurts God. They don't think it hurts the Son of God. They don't think He has feelings, but He does. He hurts too. He hurts for people.
We need to have a vision. My vision for the city of Danville and Pennsylvania County, for all the churches that are around, just don't even worry about what somebody else is doing. We need to come together as a collective body in the body of Christ and serve Him. We need not to be jealous of one another. I'm not jealous of another church. I'm not jealous of another Christian. If another Christian flourishes, if another Christian can go out here and do something for God, win more souls for Him, praise God. Hallelujah. The only thing I can do is what God allows me to do. I can't do any more, and I shouldn't do any less.
But there are people, carries their feelings on his shoulder. Why? I really don't know, to tell you the truth. I really don't know. You know, I like to have fellowship with people. I really do. I've had more and more people to tell me week after week now, well, hey, I'm just as close to God as if I was in church. I stay home and I watch the TV. I watch preaching on TV. And I say, you do? They say, yeah. I said, you just as close as God? Yeah. I said, it's impossible. You cannot be. Because in the Bible it says in 1 John, we must have fellowship one with another. And you cannot have fellowship with the individual that was preaching on that TV. You can't put your hand through the TV tube, and you can't go out there and shake their hand. You can't go up to that preacher, and you can't even call him if you have a direct line to his home.
will not take your message. And I said, and you get the same visit. But I said, is it possible? I said, I said,
if that was the case then, it was foolish for me to even think about even getting married.
Well, I told him. I said, it's foolish for me to even think about getting married then. Because all I had to do was just look on TV. And I said, I believe I like her. I believe I want her to be my wife. And then I get on the phone and I call. He thinks she will take my call. No.
I mean, hey, this thing, it's funny. It's funny to a point. It really is. But what people really don't realize is they're not really mad at you. They're mad at God. They're mad at God because God will not allow things to go their way. We got so many people in church today. What's that?
I want to teach Sunday school.
Okay. Teach Sunday school?
In the church, you need to, first of all, you need to be saved. You need to be faithful to God's house. Not just Sunday morning for Sunday school and for Sunday morning preaching. So we have Sunday night, we have Wednesday night, and maybe twice a year we may have a revival. Won't have a revival unless you're working, or unless you're in a hospital, or unless your body's laid in a casket somewhere. That's the only way you can get out of it. But if you're not one of them three or four things, that if you're not doing them, you need to be here in God's house. Because how can you expect to teach a Sunday school class when this Sunday school class is supposed to look to thee as the leader that they're supposed to follow? Now, Sunday
school within a church may be a little different than what a whole lot of other people look at it. If a church has got
three Sunday school classes, including the auditorium class, got a class, and then you got the small children's class, then you got a teenager's class. If you've got that many classes, then you have Faith Baptist Church as a body of Christ, as a church. Then you have the auditorium class that is in a church, that's a church within Faith Baptist. Then you have the young people. You have that church within a church. Each and every Sunday school class, to me, is considered a church. Why? Because they have got teachers in it. It's teaching them what God's Word says. And we don't need to be in there teaching them all the things about all this junk that's going on in Washington, D.C. We don't need to teach them that. We need to teach them what God's Word says. And we need to teach them about sin. We don't need to teach them about the different types of sin that the Bible is teaching about, and what the secular crowd, which the crowd has renamed all the sin, You're not an alcoholic anymore. No, you're a drunkard. You're not a homosexual.
You're a sodomite. You need to teach the young people what God's word says. But God's word will stand, and it stood the test of time. They've tried their very best, and y'all know that they have tried for years and years and years
to do away with God's word. But they can't do it. As long as we have a few people standing, and we still have a few people standing, we need to tell people what God's word says.
But there, when David, when the mercy had fell upon that blind beggar there, Jesus went over to him. And Jesus stood, and he commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, Jesus asked the men of the multitude of people to bring this man that was calling out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He says, y'all bring him to me.
He didn't wait. Jesus did not stand still either. Jesus went to him. They met right there. And when they met,
then Jesus asked him in verse 41, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Jesus speaking to this beggar right here, this blind beggar that's been sitting by the wayside. Jesus is speaking to us today. What will thou have me to do for thee? What do you want Jesus to do here at Faith Baptist Church? What do you want him to do? But we have to let him know what we want him to do. But we don't need to, we just need to allow him to take it. And we leave it to him. It's nothing we can do. If we get involved in it, anywhere at all, we're going to make a mess of it. We're going to make a mess. If I get involved in anything that I know that God wants his complete control over, I'm going to make a mess of it. We must allow God to do his work. That's what the problem is today. We don't want God to move. We don't want God to come down and to work. We want to do it ourselves. And then later on we can say, well, I told you it's going to have to go this way. No, we need to sit back and watch the hand of God move. We need to just stand back and watch God's blessing come from glory. In each one of our homes, if we have a window in a home that's pointing east, we need to be like Daniel. Daniel, he went up into the chamber. He went in into the upper room there. And he looked out of his window that was pointing toward Jerusalem. Did he just look there and say, God, I need your help? No. He prayed 3 times a day. He prayed three times a day. This, an elderly preacher one time told me, he says, when you're praying, he said, you just got to just get by yourself. He said, if you have to, just get in a closet where it's nothing but darkness or whatever. But you just get by yourself and you pray. And you start praying. And you start praying. And you just keep praying. So the glory of God falls down. And you'll know when you do it. Because you'll be there praying. And the next thing you know, you say, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. We need to praise Him. We need to worship Him. We need to come to Him in praise and in worship. And then we can get back to praying. And then that's when God works. God's not going to work when we got doubt in our hearts. He's not going to work when I got doubt in my heart.
But with this beggar right here, he did not have any doubts in his heart. He knew from the very first beginning when he heard this multitude and when he heard it was Jesus, he had no doubt that if he could just get to him, or if Jesus just got to him, and if they just met up together, he had no doubt. What he asked for would be done. A twofold miracle had been done that day. That beggar right there, he received his sight. You know the reason he received his sight? Because he had received faith from God. It says in verse 43, it says, and immediately. What does that word immediately mean? Now. That beggar had come to the point in his life, he says, now Lord, it's yours. You do what you have to do. This beggar, he won't go question it. But he received his sight. But what happened after he received his sight? Did he sit back and just go back home and tell his wife and everybody? No, it says, and immediately he received his sight and followed him. Who did he follow? He followed Jesus. One day back in August of 1980, I received my sight that day when the salvation of God saved me from the penalties of hell. And immediately, I wanted to follow Jesus. And I've been trying with all of my being to follow Him. But I know people today will let you down. We don't need to worry about people. You know, I was telling someone here, I believe it was the other week, and we was talking on the same line we was talking about a few minutes ago, about just leaving it to Him. And I told him, I said, you know, but what people do, they don't leave it to Him and they let it eat at them and eat at them and eat at them. Until they end up having an alt against a brother or sister, and they get out of church. It's not right.
Because God hasn't done anything wrong to any of us. If anything, when we are at our lowest of lows, we should be able to still praise Him and thank Him. But when we are at the highest of all highs, we should still praise Him. Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father God, I ask, Lord, that You may just use this message, Father, in a way, Lord, that the people will be able to understand it, maybe help someone. I do not know. Lord, You know. And we ask God, Father, that, Lord, that You'll just have Your will and way. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen.
All right. Page 246, softly and tenderly.
246.
Let's everybody stand.
Get them in church.